Or maybe there was something more sinister at work. Maybe she just wasn't ready to leave. This house, this room, it was all of Jimmy she had left. And though no one would believe her, least of all her in-laws, in her own way she had loved Jimmy. She had hoped, she had prayed with what little faith she had, that it would not come to this. Now she ducked under the crime scene tape. Now she entered the master bedroom, a chill, ghostly chamber of black and white. Gauzy curtains stirred, while the plastic over the shattered slider heaved and sighed. The smells were richer here, a pungent, rusty odor that made her nose recoil even as it triggered memory. She crossed to the bed, running her hand over the bare mattress and staring at the darker splatters of blood. She lay down in the middle of the vast, empty space. Jimmy, seeing her for the first time and flashing that crooked grin in the middle of the crowded department store.
"Hey, perfume lady, what's a guy gotta do to get a little spritz?"
Jimmy making love to her, then afterwards realizing that she hadn't felt a thing and trying to be kind about it.
"Hey, honey, you know what? We'll just have to practice more."
Jimmy fumbling the ring as he got down on one knee to propose. Jimmy staggering wildly as he carried her over the threshold. Jimmy promising her 9, 10 children. Jimmy deliriously happy when she became pregnant with her first. Jimmy showering her with diamonds and pearls. Jimmy taking her on whirlwind shopping blitzes where he bought out half the city. Jimmy sleeping with the maid, the nanny, her friends. Jimmy heading to the bar the first time she had to rush Nathan to the emergency room. Jimmy putting his fist through the wall when she dared to say he should drink less. Jimmy slamming his fist into her ribs when she dared to say something might be wrong with Nathan. Then, 6 months ago, Jimmy coming upon the cache of letters written to her from her lover. He'd entered their bedroom at 4 a.m. He'd flipped her onto her stomach. He'd pinned her to the mattress, and then he'd sodomized her.
"Maybe I should have tried that in the very beginning,"
he'd said when he was done.
"Maybe you would have felt something then."
Hours later, they'd sat across from one another at the breakfast table and made small talk about the weather. Catherine curled up on the bare mattress now. She put her hand on the empty spot where her husband used to lie, and she remembered the last look on his face during that instant right when the bullet found the tender spot behind his ear and right before it came shattering out the hard bone at his temple, an expression that was not handsome, not dashing, not charming, but totally, utterly betrayed. And she wondered now, what had disappointed him most? His own imminent death, or the fact that he hadn't been able to kill her first? A crash sounded from Nathan's room. Prudence started calling her name, and Catherine scrambled down the hall, as surprised as anyone by the tear stains on her face.